Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of my podcast. We have a very special guest today joining all the way from Germany. We got Famo joining the podcast. Hi Famo.
Hey Chana, first of all, thanks for being a part of this Chana podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How is Germany? How's the morning so far?
How's the morning? It's snowing actually.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it's freezy, rainy. But over here, everything's fine. All right. Good. Can't complain.
Famo, it's funny how we got connected because, you know, I got to know you from Cameo, right? I saw a Cameo call on you and then we did that Cameo call.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so how did you end up in Germany? I know you were born in Britain, right?
No, I'm actually Italian. I'm born and raised in Germany. But okay. I was signed in the UK also back in the day in 2011 with Rock Solid ENT, you know.
Right.
So my life was like kind of like back and forth always.
You know? Right. You're kind of like the Mr. International already.
Yeah,
right?
You already know.
So, you know, that last 2 years, you know, 2020, 2021 was like such a bad time for everybody. But how was it affected you? Like personally, how did it affected you the last 2 years?
In the first place, it was like, you know, we just checked out the news, you know, and seen something is going on in China, but we didn't really pay attention to it, you know. I had some people in the family that was curious about the situation, but I was like, yo, let's wait and see what's really going to happen. We had the swine flu back in the day, you know, so I never expected the impact of this COVID going worldwide, you know. And then it hit Italy very hard back in the day. And I was talking to my grandmother and my grandfather, and they were really, 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 really scared about the impact that Italy was affecting with COVID. And as soon as it hits Italy, it came to Germany as well. So, you know, it was kind of scary seeing how all the people were buying stuff. You know, nothing was in the supermarket to buy. You know, we had some issues with working areas, you know, closed restaurants, this and that. So at the end of the day, it was like, you know, I am legend, just in a way that I never expected at the end of the day, especially for us artists, because we wasn't even able to perform, you know, to do any kind of stuff. But I'm happy at the end of the day that we can go back to a normal life, even though now we got that Ukraine stuff going on as well, you know. So I know for a fact that we lost a lot of people. I know also a few people that got COVID. I had it too a few weeks ago. So it's not funny. And also after the vaccination, after my booster vaccine, my third one, I had also some nerve damage going on, you know, had some several issues that I was fighting with, but at the end of the day, it was totally worth it because if I wasn't be able to get that gene, I actually didn't know the impact that I had the last few weeks with COVID. So thank God everything's fine now. And yeah, that's it. In my point of view, I'm happy that this COVID situation is over. Mm. You know, in the visual effect, like last year or 2 years ago when it started, and I hope that we get back on track as soon as possible. You know, traveling without any kind of situation to think about. You know, having fear of something. So that's my point of view, actually.
Right. So how is the situation now? Is normal life back, or how is like performing, getting in front of people?
You know, there are two sides there are the people that never cared about the situation, so they did whatever they want to do. And there are people that now just getting back to it, you know. It's getting normal. It's getting normal. But since the situation with Ukraine now, with the war that they got going on, everything is getting expensive. So we got another problem, you know. But at the end of the day, I can say if I'm going outside, you know, having fun with friends or going out with my girl, things getting back to normal. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
How's it your side?
Yeah. So finally, actually, we are kind of also getting sort of normal, back to normal. The live shows just started like a few weeks back. I actually was able to go for 2 gigs so far. And the experience is quite different because you don't know how to react now. Like, you know, even the artists, they're kind of like shy. They don't know whether they should hug you or whether they should shake your hands or whatever. So it's kind of still, you know, we are still adjusting. But I got a big appreciation for everything after this COVID, because even just simply just able to have a cup of coffee outside, I think it's very, I appreciate that now. I wouldn't take for granted any of this anymore, because it's very important for us now, right? The COVID shows.
Yeah, it is. Because we never see that point of view, how to appreciate those kind of things, because it was just a regular stuff, no?
Right.
Yeah.
So Famo, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood, and what's your earliest memory of music?
I'm actually a kind of guy that started with dance music. So I was really into Michael Jackson back in the day. I remember when I was 5 years old, you remember that VHS cassette from Michael Jackson's History with all those music videos, black and white, you know,
right.
Barana, the intro. Yeah. So that was the main point starting into artistic way. Because as soon as I watched those videos, I was imitating Michael Jackson. No, so that's how everything started. Then I went to some MTV clip contests as I was 11 years old. Actually, was also in the finals for the MTV clip contest, and did some hip hop, modern, jazz, dance kind of choreographies all over the place in Germany. And afterwards, there was a talent show in Italy, and I was a huge fan of Nelly, and he released Country Grammar back in the day.
Right.
And I did a performance, a cover version from Nelly's Number One, and went straight up to the third place, and that's where everything started, you know, in the point of view if you talk about music. And right. If you talk about family and childhood, it was a tough one. Because I met my father with 28 years. After 28 years, he was kind of like, he's not important to me, actually, to be honest. And I was growing up with my mother and my grandmother, my grandfather, my stepdad as well. And we had a tough life in the first place. But now things turning out great, so I'm grateful that my mother was always there for me, you know. Yeah, if you take it short, that's actually the thing, how everything started.
Right. So other than Nelly, who else like you really got inspired from?
Eminem. Eminem is one of my favorite artists, even if there are so many people that, you know, inspiring Eminem. But M is actually one of my favorites. Also Talib Kweli, he's a great lyricist, you know. People like Jadakiss, Tupac, Biggie, you know, Cameron, KRS-One, Rakim. So if you talk, because I'm a 90 kid, you know, so right. I was born in 87. So I was really into that kind of music where we were waiting each Friday on new music videos and MTV, you know, from JC, even R. Kelly and people like that, P. Diddy. And music changed nowadays a lot. So I'm not a fan of this auto-tune stuff, you know, the mumble rap. I'm that old school guy. I'm that old school guy.
Right. Being a fan of that 90s music, and you're able to actually record with Corrupt, right? Of Dog Pound.
Yeah, so I was.
How was that experience? Like, you know.
It was funny though. We have a DJ over here called DJ Lowlife, and he knew that I was doing some features with people such as members from G Unit back in the day, Shy Drew Hill, and all of that. And he called me and asked me how things really work, you know, if it comes to features and getting in contact with people. And he was doing every week shows. He had a party line called Brown Sugar that went really big in Stuttgart back in the day. And he asked me, how is it able, or what would be the best option to do a record with people such as Corrupt or Das Dillinger? Or he was actually supposed to doing a record with Das Dillinger from the Dog Pound Gang. And I told him, you know what, if you really want to do a DJ record with those kind of guys, just make sure you got him on a show, you know, so you can be with him, you know, filming it, you know, doing a record, and then boom, maybe you don't even have to pay that much, you know, for the verse, because he's already there, you booked him for a show, you know, so things are a little bit different. And then it happened quick. He called me and said, yo, I got Das Dillinger, can I hit you up at the studio and doing the record? And I was like, sure, man, would appreciate it, having a legend in there. And I was asking, is there maybe Corrupt? Because if so, maybe I'll try to get him on a record. And as it was, the bus came down the street, you know, that still just came out of the wind. And then I saw Corrupt as well. And I was like, jackpot, he's in it. All right. Then we had the session in the studio. That still did the part for DJ Lowlife. Then Corrupt jumped in. Corrupt get downstairs, you know, smoking a blunt. And I was like, yo, Corrupt, to be honest, I got a record going on that you could fit in. And he looked at me and was like, if I like it, let's see, you know, up it goes. And from there on, just played the record, played the beat. He jumped in. I did the record as well. And it was crazy the way he's recording stuff, because to see it in real life, you know, having the opportunity to work with a West Coast legend, actually, like, the, you know, Dog Pound Gang, the Outlaws, and talking also about Tupac, it was amazing.
Right. Yeah, I actually saw the music video as well of that.
The making of behind the scenes. Yeah, it was like a dream come true. But I got some great stuff this next year going on as well. So I can't wait. I can tell you that after the interview, you know, to keep that secret. But it's gonna be big.
Right. So Famo, did you see the NFL halftime show?
Yeah, I did. And I was so fucking happy. I remember watching it. And it was like, I'm feeling like a kid. You know, I miss this kind of music. These hip-hop legends, you know, Eminem, Dre, Kendrick Lamar nailed it. Mary J. It was awesome. It was awesome.
That was a just amazing. I think for me, like, the best halftime show, right?
Yeah,
probably after Michael Jackson.
To me is the Michael Jackson and this hip-hop halftime show, one of my favorites. I was like after the show, I was like, hopefully we get back to the old good hip-hop music, you know, that would be awesome. It was a great show. I loved it.
Right. I want to ask you regarding in Germany, how is, like, when you were growing up and when you were getting into hip hop, how was the situation there? Was it acceptable? Hip hop was...
They hate it. They still hate it. Yeah, they still hate it. You know, to be honest, the people over here are kind of... I'm living in the South Side, so Stuttgart, right? So the people are selfish, big time, you know. If I'm going to the UK or in the States, you know, and did music, there was always another energy, you know. People appreciate the things that you do, but if it comes to Germany and you start doing things that are way different than other people are doing, it's tough, because I was remembering doing music. I mean, we're talking about 2003, 2004, it's almost 20 years, you know. how people acting like, you know, at the beginning, in the first place, it was like, man, you're not an American, so stop doing this, stop doing that, you know. And afterwards, while I was doing music with the States, you know, flying to the States, doing a record, doing our entire album with some Grammy-nominated producers, you know, and big names on it, then we were talking about, man, you don't sound like an American, so stop it, you know what I mean? Then as time goes by and I get it better and better, now we are in a point where people accepting it, still don't want to really support in it, but I don't even care because it's not about the people around you, you know, that made you the man that you are. So if I'm able to do music that you love, even you're from the Philippines, right? Yeah. So you know what I mean, you just listen to the songs and you love it. So that's the advantage of being a real artist, because it's not about the people, you know, around you, it's the people that never heard of you, you know, and turn into fans, you know, paying for your stuff, having you on shows. And that's the thing that I appreciate the most, you know. That's why also I never focused in Germany. That's why I was signed to the UK then back then, you know, was nominated for the official mixtape awards, did a lot of stuff in the UK. Then I did stuff in the US. And afterwards, I signed in Germany a record deal in 2016, because on 2016, I was working on an album and I did a record with TQ, you know, did some records with Big Brothers and just prepared an entire album. But I was like, I was talking to my best friend, Nina, and I was like, man, you know, I've been independently for so many years. I just want to make sure to be through a record to a major company, you know, just releasing stuff, you know, leaning back and see what's going on. And over here, there was a record company that was also distributed by Universal that I signed to for 2 years. But the problem was they forced me afterwards to do German hip hop music, you know. So, and I didn't came out of the contract, you know, had some serious law problems with this company. And then I started to working for the comic industry, you know, because I wasn't able to release music. I wasn't able to do any other stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm the type of guy that is creative. I need to do stuff before, you know, I'm exploding internal. And then everything's changed. You know, I wasn't able to do 2 years stuff. And I just went into the comic industry and did some mangas, you know, doing inks for some comic books, getting involved with Adam Lawson. He's a huge filmmaker, you know, and also writer that we get. We talk afterwards if you ask other questions, so we get into it deep. And then I signed to, once I get out of the contract, I signed to Contra Records for a record singer called Johnny Depp. And I thought they put really money behind the marketing, you know, which they didn't. And then I was just sick and tired of it, you know. I just leaned back, left the music industry for a while, and I was like, man, you know what? Music changed the way. I don't even like it anymore. So why should I keep going doing what I love to do if there is nothing, you know, that you have passion within the things you do? And then we had 2020, the COVID situation. And by the end of the year of 2020, I was thinking about coming back with some stuff, you know, and here I am, man.
Right. But I want to say the track Like Johnny Depp, I think it's with Good Night. Yeah. I think it has like 500,000 streams already, right?
Yeah, it has, but I was even actually expecting more, because that's a German Schlager record, you know. So it was in the first place a very well-known record that has already 40 or 42 million streams, you know, went gold. And Alex Christensen is a very well-known producer over here in Germany. He did also back in the day that instrumental called Das Boot. He was the one that actually dropped Michael Jackson from the billboards in Germany with an instrumental record back in the day, you know. So he was big. And I was like, it's not my type of music, but since we're going to release it through Contra Records and we're going to shoot the video in Las Vegas, will jump in. It doesn't even take long. They just sent me the script, you know, and the lyrics, even the lyrics, because everything was prepared. They just needed a rap artist from Germany that could represent the American hip hop music. And they had a few, but they picked the best, and it was me at that time. And I thought, like I said, they really put money behind the record, you know, instead they're just releasing it, you know, and see what happened, because that was a kind of like a fans' decision, you know. So we had a half million, but I think it's more worth it. If they did it right, I had probably 10, 20 or 30 million.
Right. The song that I actually got, I noticed you, was Kill Journal, actually, because yeah. I kind of like.
How did you notice the record?
Because I spend a lot of time on Cameo, actually. So I go on trying to meet artists. And then I saw you in Cameo. And then I went to Spotify and I went to YouTube. And then I started listening.
Yeah.
And then Kill Journal really hits me, because I really love those sort of horror core kind of, you know, stuff. Yeah, because that's kind of it is. So tell me about that song, because I know it's also connected to the comics thing as well, right?
Yeah. So like I said, in that period of 2016 where I was signed to the record label and I wasn't able to do any stuff, I really had to think about what's the next step, even if I'm not doing music, to make sure, you know, to get any sort of thing that I love to do, you know. And it was because I was thinking about what I loved most in the childhood. If we talk about dancing, I don't want to do that anymore. So I was drawing a lot. I was reading mangas. I'm a total fan. I'm a hype fan for Dragon Ball, One Piece, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? Let's get back into this drawing stuff. And then I had it in my mind, and I was like, it would be really awesome, you know, being in soundtracks, you know, or even being on Netflix with a record. That was my first intention. But I was thinking about it, just left it behind, and just getting into this comic stuff. So I just created a Instagram, you know, was on Twitch also, and created a YouTube channel, you know, with some drawing stuff, you know, inking. And I met some really great guys back in the day that helped me out. Also, big shout outs to Ray Acevedo, because he was the kind of guy that helped me out a lot. He's doing some stuff for Marvel, you know, with sketch cards and stuff like that. And I asked him, you know, what kind of pens to use, you know, how is the process the right way? And after I get into it, within 6 months, I get in touch with Adam Lawson. Adam Lawson is the founder of Gifted Rebels with Ari Wiener. And he's also the co-director of Snakes on a Plane. You remember the movie with Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, he was actually the co-director of that movie. And he also did Escape the Plan, the YouTube series. You ever heard of it? Yo, he's the director of this series. And then he came with some little commissions, you know, sending me some stuff from the 8. And I was like, what's this? Yo, we got this and that character. If you want to, you can just draw him, you know, put in some colors, just colors behind, and send it so we can promote it on Twitter. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'm doing that for free, because I never had a job for it. So I'd rather, you know, put passion behind, put some heart behind, and maybe get into some serious jobs. And how it goes was I did it 2 or 3 or 4 times. I didn't remember actually. And then he hit me up about Kill Journal. He don't even know that I did music back in the day, because I was just into the comic scene, you know, didn't talk about FAMO and all of that. I was just doing this. And then we had a Skype convo about the Kill Journal. And he was like, you know, I got some people that sketched and draw X-Men, you know, Wolverine, some people from Marvel are in there involved as well. And I got a side story that we would love to that you put the color on, the side story of Reckon. And I was like, I would appreciate that, man. I would love to. And that was the first debut that I had to be in a huge comic, because it was one of the most excited independent comics in 2021 that everybody were waiting for. And then we came in touch with my music, you know. Then he asked me, what did you do in the past? And I was like, this and that and this. And then from out of nowhere, I was saying, like, you know what, if you want to, I can do a soundtrack for the Kill Journal. And he was like, yo, that could be dope. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I got some serious people also, you know, that I can connect to get some serious beats. And I hit my old manager, Ian, up to having a beat by J-Mo. And he's also a number one Billboard. He also reached number one Billboard hit with D-Block Europe, you know, did some smash records with some serious artists in the UK and in the US. And he sent me the beat and I was like, yo, that was the kind of type of beat that I needed. And then I just did the record, you know, and now we like, it came out great, you know? So, because he sent out the script before the whole comic was even out, because I need to know the story behind the whole comic, because I just did the side story for Bracken. And once he sent out the script and I was reading also the whole pages, also I go out, I got this, and Kill Journal came out at the end of the day.
Right. I actually collect comics also. Like I like, you know, my favorite is actually Captain America, but I don't really like the movies. Although yeah. I go and watch, I do still go and watch each one of them, but I don't really love the movies, because I feel that something is lost from the comics when it goes to the movies. It's I don't feel the same excitement.
Yeah.
But recently I watched the new Batman movie. That was something different. I really enjoyed it, actually.
You know what? I was scared, because Robert Pattinson wasn't an actor that I could even imagine on Batman. I was in the cinema and I was like, please God, don't let me waste money, because I don't know if that really works out. But it did.
Right.
It did.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Batman fan. I'm a huge Batman fan, to be honest.
Right. So if you take music and comics together, which character do you think is the best sort of character that goes with music? Like, you know, what comic book character?
Maybe the upcoming project that we got going on.
right. Because one for me, because I listen to a lot of metal, right? So I really love Lobo. Yep. You know Lobo, yep, right? Yep. Lobo is so badass because I think he's like the real metal comic character, right?
I think you know, the Darkness or Witchblade? Yeah. Those kind of stuff. I was talking to Top Cow. You know that company? Top Cow? That did actually Witchblade. Yeah, Top Cow is like Panini, you know, just like a huge brand. They doing great comics, and they are very much into metal, because if I'm seeing some comics that did like kind of like Witchblade, you know, or The Darkness, they're always metal and, you know, heavy metal involved into. So I think I'm one of the first people that put actually in a comic hip hop music into it, to be honest, because I never saw that before. And yeah, if we talk about a comic which I can combine with music,
I'm pretty sure Wu-Tang probably done something already.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, you're right. They did. Back in the day, they did. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So
Famo, that's a tough question.
Yeah, I saw one of your Instagram posts, one of these photos that you posted. You were so young. I think it's photo with the Jared Hancock, right? The one who passed away.
Oh yeah, he passed away. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about him, and then tell me about that picture, because I was so surprised. You were so young on that picture.
Yeah, that was man. Jared passed away a few weeks ago, because of a accident that was just impossible to have. You know, he was alone and nobody was at his house, and that's why he passed away, because of his injury. Jared was the guy that made me the man who I am, because he was the one that I came in touch in 2009, and while I was doing my first debut album, Explicit, in the States, with Futures like Shy Drew Hill, And he teached me a lot, man. Jared was a kind of guy, a genius, if it comes to music and to put people to another level. You know what I mean? So that picture was, I think, we did the first record, right? It called Hands Up to the Sky. And we were just talking and making some fun all over the place. And we talked also about shooting the video for On and On that we did back in the day that went also in Germany on your video number one. And yeah, that dude is, like I said, I'm still speechless if I'm thinking about, because he left 5 kids and a wife, you know. Right. And he was Grammy nominated for some gospel productions that he did. And I owe this guy and the whole team so much, because if it comes to positivity and having a vision to become reality, that was the guy that made it possible, you know. So if you got a dream and you want to chase for it, you still have to believe it, even if you have so many people around that, you know, naysayers or people that won't believe in what you do. He was the kind of guy that will stand up and say, you can do it. Just keep going no matter what, you know. That's why I posted, because as I got the message, I had to share it with the world, because I had the greatest days in the States with those guys, the whole team.
Right.
Yeah.
You also the CEO and founder of Rap and Rhymes Records, right? So
Tell me
about this records label. What's the purpose of the record label and what you're planning to do with that record label?
Well, Rap and Rhymes Records was actually a idea as I started doing music. So since there was people in Germany that really wasn't really supporting me, I did everything on my own. So I started building up a record label, and just went to the States with True Fine Music Group, you know, creating the album, getting into the marketing. So I was always the kind of guy that never trusted people that I didn't know, just to make sure I have everything on my hands, even if it's harder to make a great process, because, you know, if you're a one man or a two man army, it's difficult getting everything done at the same way if you got 10 or 20 people behind you, you know what I mean? And it started actually as an idea, as a kind of hobby dream, you know, from back in the day, and into it gets to reality. And also I had the company in the UK called Rap and Rhymes Records Limited. It was a fusion with Rock Solid DNT back then when I was signing the contract in the UK. And yeah, I think Rap and Rhymes Records turned into a kind of brand, which my face is actually on it. But if I'm seeing that in the future, in the next 5 years, I would really appreciate to see other artists coming through Rap and Rhymes Records, maybe also involved in the comic industry, you know, with soundtracks, doing stuff for the film industry and stuff like that. So that's my vision. I'm not into that. I want to be the best artist in the world. So I'm like, I want to do what I love. So if that's the way to make the things that I want happen, if it comes to the music industry and the film industry and the comic industry, I would love to be getting involved into this and make the stuff happen the way that I'm supposed to do, you know?
Right. So I've been walking a lot, and then I actually kept listening to some of your songs because you have songs from 2006 onwards, I think, in Spotify. Right?
Yeah.
What I feel like, if somebody asked me what's your favorite Famo song, for me, I think it's What I've Been Through, because I don't know, it feels very personal, actually, because I kind of can interpret that to my life as well. So
yeah, you told me about that. You told me that on Cameo, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me about that song and, you know, how that song got together.
Well, I met Black Panther, right? Marvel's Black Panther.
Right.
All right. I met back in the day the movie actor called Hassan Rashid. He was also involved in Black Panther. And I was in Italy, I think, when everything happened last year. And he was doing a movie in Ghana called War from the Archives. And I was like, yo, Hassan, if you need a record for the movie, just let me know. And then, boom, a DM came into Instagram, and I was like, fam, I told you we need to work together. And I was like, do you need a record? And he was like, yeah, do that. So, you know, I'll set some contracts, so I know I got a guaranteed spot, and we can make that happen. Then he sent me out the script for the movie, and I was like, damn, the story is nice. The trailer looks good. And I was getting in touch with Losu. He's also the co-director of that movie from Ghana. And I was like, you know what? I got a sort of idea to make a record happen so you can use it for the movie once it's out. And they're like, all right. And then I was reading the script and I was like, man, that's the type of guy that been through a lot of stuff, you know, even if it turns to a bad guy, you know, and being a little bit psycho. I think I can turn it into a real good story to reach exact the same situation that we have with you right now. If you listen to it, you know, getting connected to. Right. And then I was talking to DJ Payne One. He produced that record as well. And from then on, I just picked up a pen and a paper, you know, put something from my life into those lines as well and made that record. So yeah, that's actually the official soundtrack for War from the Archives that will be out soon, hopefully.
Right. It's really beautiful because I think even after many years, if somebody's listened to it, they can still relate to whatever they're going through at that moment. Right?
Yeah,
because
yeah. That was my point of view to making it lyrically exactly this, to make sure that if people listen to it and they've been through a lot of stuff, you know, they can connect to it and maybe get also some positivity after the record. So that was my intention into this record.
So, Famo, now that the world is sort of getting back to normal, Europe, I see a lot of shows are happening in Europe slowly people can travel. So what are you looking forward to, and what can we expect from you in the near future, which you can share with us?
You can expect, I got an invitation on June for the Richmond International Film Festival, which I'm performing in Virginia. So I got there two or three shows. I don't know what dates. I will post in this next week. You know, being a guest for the International Film Festivals, it's an honor being back in the States. This is what I can tell you that will happen. And there are also a few festivals in line on the pipeline. I don't know if I can perform there. I just submitted stuff, you know, also on some several awards as well. So we'll see from there, because if it comes to shows, I still need to finish the other projects that I got going on at the moment. And as soon as everything over, you know, and I can get focused on getting some shows done, that's the upcoming step, which will be soon enough.
Right.
Hopefully internationally.
Right. So, you know what I mean? What's your message to the viewers of this video and also people who's going to listen to the podcast?
My message to the people is, if you have a dream, you know, and it's tough in life to become the one that you want to be, make sure to achieve the things step by step. I think the goal to be someone, to achieve dreams, is to stay consistent. You know what I mean? Always love the people around you that support you. Have the positive people around you. Stay away from negativity. If you do have negativity, cut them off. No matter if it's hard, if it's tough, if you don't want to, you have to become a better man, a better girl, a better woman. You know, that's actually the main point to tell the people about. Also, stay safe, you know, especially with this COVID that we got going on. Yeah. This is it.
Anybody you want to shout out to?
Yeah, man. First of all, I want to shout out Chana. I'm happy to be here, man. I want to shout out Adam Lawson from Gifted Rebels. You know, Nino, my Vasil, my entire Rap and Rhymes record team, my girl Stefania, my family, my mother, and all the people that supported me, you know, and all the people that want to have some dreams making it happen. Shout outs to you as well. And yeah, just, you know, if it comes to names, it's always the thing that you're missing someone. So they're getting sad about it. So I want to shout everybody, each and everyone that I love and that support me and that is within my circle of friends and homies. And oh yeah, I got a shout out, Sam Shisha. Yeah, he's the dude that one I had to put on. He's one of my best friends, and he's one of the first hookah gathering services in Europe, you know, and one of the best. And Paul for his fitness center, Paul's Time Out. Also, big love to you, man. I think this is it. And if I miss someone, shit happens.
So, Famo, thanks for joining. I really enjoyed this conversation and really appreciate that you actually talk with your fans on social media.
Yeah,
unlike the other artists, I'm like you actually spend time to chat with me. And I really appreciate that. So, lastly, tell everybody how they can get connected with you and what's the best way to enjoy your music.
Well, you can get in touch with me on Instagram at It's Famo. You can also check out my website, officialfamo.com. If it comes to social media, you can get me also on facebook.com/Famo or even on twitter.com/It's Famo, ITSFAMOE, just to mention. But the main source to reach me is Instagram, because I'm using this and combining everything else. Maybe I will set up a TikTok soon. I'm not a fan of this, but, you know, life goes on in the social media platforms as well. So maybe I'll hop in and be a part of it too. Yeah, but mainly just get at me on Instagram.com/itsfamo. And if you want to get some press release news and all other stuff and information, you can also watch me on officialfamo.com.
Right. I think you have to get on TikTok.
I have to. I don't really like it, but I think I have to. Yeah, I have to.
Right. So, Famo, thanks for joining. So have a great day.
Oh, but by the way, before I'm forgetting that, if you talk about the comic industry, there is a new project on that. So I don't know if you recognize the last post with Wesley Snipes.
No, I did not.
No, you open your ears, right? All right. Adam Lawson started a partnership with Wesley Snipes, and Wesley Snipes is back in the comic industry, and he's dropping out a comic called Exile.
Wow.
All right. I don't know now if I'm involved with a soundtrack, but Wesley Snipes is listening to the records the next few days, and if I'm a part of it, maybe I'm gonna do the soundtrack for his comic as well. So watch out for this, because I was excited seeing Adam Lawson, Gifted Rebels, you know, partnering with the one and only with Mr. Blade, you know.
Blade.
Wesley Snipes. So if I can be a part of it, I'll let you know, and I'm making sure to send you also a comic over, you know. And can't miss this to tell you that. So just want to show love to Adam
as
well.
That's great,
you know?
News, actually, because I think Blade movies was really the first comic movies, right? To be honest, before everything, before all this Marvel cinematic universe started.
Yeah. Did you watch Morbius?
Yes, I did.
What you think about this? I'm like, people asking me, I was like, you only understand the movie if you're a Blade fan.
Right.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. I couldn't really put this superhero and the vampire thing together. It didn't really make sense that much in that movie.
Yeah.
Because I actually went because, you know, there was a connection to Spider-Man and all that before, right? So from the previous.
Yeah.
So that's why I went and watched it. But anyway, let's see.
What comes in the future.
Yeah, I think there's Moon Knight coming, right?
I just watched it. I just watched the first two episodes. But you know what really got me? Halo. Halo is sick. Did you watch Halo?
No, I did not.
You have to. I think it's also directed by Steven Spielberg. So take a look at it. It's worth it.
Right. Thanks, Famo. I mean, I think we can keep on talking about this stuff, but
I think we
should do it again when you have some new music out or something, when your project is out. So let's do this
no
again.
No problem. We can do that. I got you, man.
So thanks a lot.
Oh,
have a great day.
Yeah, man. You too. You keep in touch. Take care, Tana. Bye bye.